We're going to get started with everybody. I'm repeating in a second. We filled with my everyone, just about saying a prayer to start.
Dear Lord God and Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for this day that we've had. Please be with us as we try to decide the work of this church. Help us to do all things in accordance with your will. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
So, on the back of the agenda, finance update, nothing particularly new, just a couple reminders that insurance check is going to be coming out. I thought it might be coming out before this meeting, but it's going to be coming out this week probably. And then also the check for the trees that we had cut down, that's been completed. And so that's about $12,500 that'll come out. So it'll be down, which that's expected, our yearly insurance premium about this time of year. But if you have any questions about that, let me know. Next on the list, confirm Reagan McKinley for spring of 2025. I brought this up a couple months ago, and just said, check it out. If you have any questions or concerns, let me know. Nobody did, so does anybody object to having that confirmed for spring of 2025? That is confirmed now.
By the way, is it the 2023 that we have openings?
2023 we have openings.
So
everything is set for next year.
Next year, we have 2023.
And so that brings us to the main thing. We got a couple other things too, but the main thing of this meeting, we had decided last business men's meeting that we were going to, thought it would be best to split up the Lord's Supper and the contribution, make it, specifically separate, and we said to think about the best way to do that, and then we discussed the best way to do that during this meeting. So the options that I have on there, this is not the only options. I put these here because these are the ones that were given to me. So that's what I have been given, I guess we will open it up. Does anybody have any suggestions that are not on this list for proceeding with that? Yes, Josh.
Well, he had his hand up slightly before I did.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. possibility would be to just honestly make it the last thing we do before closing prayer after sermon. I've seen it done that way before, as well as many of these other ways. But what that would do is that would allow a shorter time between collection and counting. I know frequently there is, from time to time, the issue where the counting will just ensue after collection, and that takes away from worship service. And I think that can be a distraction. It would eliminate that, but it also would take care of any security concerns where we now have all of these funds, half of which or more cash, sitting in the back room and such. So there's that.
Mine's kind of along those same lines, except kind of going back to the way we did it in COVID, the way most congregations did it in COVID. We had the baskets there for people to contribute to as they came in and as they left, without the necessity of passing the baskets. One, it would help improve us on our time that we spend during the hour, because as been mentioned before, we're singing too many songs because it takes away from the time it takes to do the sermon, or where the sermons are not given enough time, or we have no time for this, that, and the other. There's no directive in Scripture that says we must do it as a formal service like the prayers or the Lord's Supper. So by having it in the back, it's perfectly authorized to do that. And we can simply cover that with the announcements for those that are visiting. Hey, it's in the back, should you need to contribute. The thing that I've always found kind of, it's always rubbed me wrong by passing the collection plate, is it puts focus on money, where that's not the focus of spiritual things that a church is supposed to be doing. Our focus is on the spiritual. We are commanded to give, yes, but in that commandment, it's just told to collect those funds. It doesn't say how. So when we pass the baskets, that's the design of that has come from denominational man's mind, because it creates that, oh, well, I have this in front of me, I have to put something in it, and it almost can lead people to give in the wrong manner, out of compulsion and not willingly. But that's, again, just a suggestion. As far as security concerns with that option, we can put them in, we can have drop boxes that are attached to the wall that have a lock on them, to where you can, once you put it in, you can't get into it without a key. And then that way, the accounting can be done after services. Nobody's distracted with anything. And it would kind of tick all the boxes that we need to tick. As far as no one's distracted, we're all paying attention. We're not, like, taking trays to the back or whatever. And we have more time for the singing and the sermons.
I think the original, and I could be off, and if I'm off, then please feel free to preach, Craig, but the original reason that we brought up even changing it to begin with was because we were worried about children not differentiating between the Lord's Supper and the collection and our contribution. And because as adults, I really hope that by now we all differentiate. So my problem, though, is that if we were basing the decision on, if we were making this decision based on that, at the same time, if we go to Rick's idea, which I'm not 100% against, I've always felt weird about that, but that, my feelings aside, it takes away that ability for children to learn through doing and, like, being able to, like, drop, you know, a quarter in the collection plate or whatever the case may be. And I know that that's something that we always make sure that, you know, Huxley has for his contribution, so that he's training and he's learning about, you know, what we're doing, and we talk about why we do it, and that's, in my mind, it's a learning thing. It's kind of like having a singing once a month. You know, it allows the younger Christians to get a chance to lead singing in a setting that's not a full service. That's what makes sense.
Just to kind of follow up on that, I understand exactly what you're saying, Josh. The teaching can still transpire, because you're still going to be able to teach them, as you know, as you come in, this is what we do, because we're commanded in 1 Corinthians to lay by in store, this is how we do that. So the instruction can still be there, and they can still have that part of service.
I agree. And it was not to be...
No, I agree. I just wanted to mention.
Regardless whether we pass baskets or have a lockbox or whatever, I would suggest we still have a dedicated prayer for it. And if we were going to do the lockboxes, it would seem like option two would make the most sense, to just do it while we're already in that, do it before the song leader gets up there, so it's not a shuffle of people. Another person can just be there to do the prayer, or one of the people already up there can do the prayer while everyone's up there right at the beginning. And it gives us a chance to lean over to the kid and say, hey, they're about to pray about that money that you just put in the basket. Or for our kid to go, Dad, they're about to pray about the money. We didn't put it in the basket. We gotta go now.
Cool.
Are we going to kind of vote or something like that? I like two, but I like Josh's suggestion. Let's don't possibly pass all of that. That's a very good suggestion, having it after the sermon before the closing prayer.
So, that's good.
One of the things, and now, since what I do here is kind of, I always think about it, but one of the things we need to think about too is bringing the men up.
Yep.
Bringing them back down, bringing them up, bringing them back down. Too, that also takes time. Are we going to use the same men to do the Lord's Supper, do the collection? So that offsets the thought about it too. So it's, you know, are we going to bring him up? Then, you know, have them sit all sit in the front, and then bring them back up again, or are they going to, you know, go back and sit with their families, or, you know, so that's something we kind of need to think about.
Yeah,
also.
That's what I was meaning when I was talking about
three,
you know, when
take care of that.
That's what I was meaning when I was talking about with option two. You've already got everyone walk up to the front to do the prayer, the scripture reading, and everything. It's just one more person or an extra duty for one of those people. I would say that it's not particularly a great idea to pass baskets right at the beginning like that, because it makes it like that old Rallies or Checkers commercial with the two windows where it's like, I've got an idea, we'll have two windows for our direction. Why two? Well, the first one, we collect our money, and if the second one, if their order's wrong, what do we care? We've already got their money. And so it's that feeling like, all right, we've had the prayer, now give us the money before we move on. Whereas opposed to if you're just praying for something that's already happened where people have put it in, it's not that big.
I think that's fair to Stan to make it after the lesson thing, because then it puts a lot of pressure on Stan.
I don't feel the pressure.
I was going to get it.
Right.
I just want to say one thing. We have always taught, and I think that we've taught truth when we've taught, is the contribution, the giving of our means on the first day of the week is a sacrificial act that is a part of our worship. There are five acts of worship.
Not being in the assembly, though. By having it in the back,
together,
it's still part of it.
That's what I'm saying, is when you come together, 1 Corinthians 16, it's difficult to have a congregational worship if we're not living as a congregation.
You're saying that collecting is praying.
I'm saying that there are some who believe, and for example, I was talking with a visitor who came just today, and she wanted to talk to me after services, and the first thing she asked me, in fact, the only thing she asked me is the practice that another conservative congregation has started of either mailing in or electronically doing contribution. And if that's the announcement that was said from the pulpit, is make sure that you mail in your contribution or do it electronically. And that's what they're doing. And I'm saying that contribution, giving our means on the first day of the week as we come together, is an act of congregational worship. And I have a problem with it not being done within the worship service as part of the congregation. Personally, I have a problem with that. And I think that 1 Corinthians 16 intimates that it is something done not before our assembly, but while we're assembled. That's the view that I've held, which I had a problem again with the pandemic and probably should have brought something up at the time, but that's something that bothers me. In certain ways, I don't have a problem with us making any of these changes. I don't like the idea of not passing the plate just because, or we can do whatever we want, but we do it while we're assembled. That's my preference. What I do think is that we, in my personal view, is that while people have talked about the possibility of the kids not understanding and such, but that's just a matter of the lack of knowledge and intellectual progress of the children that will be, you know, you see, when we become adults and when we become little older kids, we all understand what the difference is between the Lord's Supper and the contribution. So that's not a problem. So I think the way we're doing it now is right. It's what I'm saying. I mean, we're talking about possibly changing it. I just want to keep in mind that my view was that if you have it at the end, you have it in front. If you have it the same way we're doing it now, it's fine. I'm just uncomfortable with not having the contribution occur in the worship assembly. I just have a problem.
Okay, so is everybody fine over it? That was your suggestion. But are we fine with tabling that suggestion because of pains of conscience?
Well, I'm confused. Are you saying that it's unscriptural to have the collection in the back that people put their money into when they're here?
I'm saying I have a personal pain of conscience assembling, not doing the contribution in the assembly. I think the intent of 1 Corinthians 16 includes that.
If I may, what I think was standard, if you put them in a bag, you could contribute at 9 o'clock, you could contribute at 10 o'clock, you could contribute at 11 o'clock. So it's not being done as a congregation. A collection is not being done as a congregation.
That's actually not true.
What you're saying is that if you guys put the baskets in the back, it's not being done as a congregation. It's not being done as part of the...
What we're talking about when we talk about the five acts of worship, we advocate that's actually legitimate. And some I know do not view the offering as an act of worship. They say, in fact, there's four acts of worship. It's a duty and requirement, but not an act of worship. I believe it's an act of worship. I think that the principle surrounding it is that a sacrifice, and I think the intent of 1 Corinthians 16 is that it's to be done when you come together. Now, when you come together is the same phrase used in 1 Corinthians 5. It has reference to us coming together as an assembly, as a church. It's not classes. It's a worship assembly. And as a part of our worship assembly, we give. And we are mindful of what we're giving. That's what we offer up the prayer. And I'm just not comfortable with it being done outside.
And I agree with that. What my question is where does it say that we are to wait for one another as with the Lord's Supper? We do it as an action collectively, even though we're individually responsible for taking and partaking or singing or praying on our own. Where does it say in Scripture that we're to wait for one another for the contribution?
It doesn't say that.
So I'm just confused then.
That's not my argument. My argument is that the coming together is an assembly. We make a distinction. We know that distinction. Classes, the middle hour, that's not an assembly. The assembly is from the 9 to 10 hour, and the other one's from the 11 to 12 hour. That's when we're coming together to worship God. One of the five acts of worship to be engaged in as we are assembled for that purpose is the first step of the contribution. That's why.
Justin?
Go ahead, Dick.
It seems to me that option 3 takes care of everything except for what Rick had suggested, that where we have the song, have the Lord's song, the Lord's Supper song, the Lord's Supper, then a song, then the contribution. I've seen that done in some congregations. I don't have any problem with the way we do it now, but I mean, for those that do this, it fits in perfectly. Because the men are there, and the after they come back and put the after the
right
through
yeah.
the vine, they come back and they'll sit down or stand up, however we sing the song, and then, so they're still there. You know, they didn't go in, go back to their families like some of these other suggestions.
Exactly. And that, again, you know, Jim mentioned the getting up and getting down, and, you know, it's something to think about, but it would only be about, you know, what, 30
There's
seconds.
Only so many songs you can sing before the Lord's Supper. Before the contribution.
Right, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a song that's, we just sing another song that's separate.
It's a separate.
Right. Yeah. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be for the contribution.
I will gladly admit that all these options are technically scriptural. We can do any of these things. And in my mind, even put them on the wall in the back. I just feel like putting them on the wall in the back would allow us the time and it would give us the ability to do more instructing, more teaching, more prayer, more song, which is the main acts of worship that we're here for. The collection of the saints mentioned in 1 Corinthians is a command. But they had also promised that money in previously to Peter, and he was reminding them to do that, and it was a means of expediency as it was given.
Right, and I get what you're saying, but as we, you know, to get us to where we are now, we've got one that has a conscientious objection to that, not comfortable with that. There may be others too out there that do as well, and so if you're really wanting that. That needs to be a study between y'all to come to, you know, see if you can come to that agreement and we can revisit it. But otherwise, to me, that's kind of off the table.
Well, I kind of feel, I'm not going to push this, but my opposition is kind of the opposite. The passing of the plates is uncomfortable to me. But that's the way we've done it for years, and I just don't want to do something or say that we should continue to do something because that's the way we've always done it. Because once we start going down that road, it's going to lead to problems. I don't want to do something just because it's tradition.
Yeah, we don't want to get into too many other things, right? There's about a billion options for different things we could do with the collection from that I've participated in at various congregations. One where everyone walks up and puts it into a basket at the front, right? And things like that. So we're really trying to look at just this one aspect of it. And if we do want to keep passing the baskets, then three normally works best. The reason some people like four is because they're thinking about the Lord's Supper being the ultimate act of worship, being the focus of a Sunday morning worship thing. And I don't know if you're a Pentecostal congregation where people just stand up after the Lord's Supper and leave. But as I like to remind people, you can't trick people into heaven, right? So don't orient your thing around that. So as far as that goes, I would think that three would make sense. As far as people being with their family, sitting up at the front is actually something I never experienced anywhere else until I came here. Everywhere else I went, people just stayed with their families. And when the Lord's Supper time came, they got up and went and did that from each of their locations. And then if you did have a song between, then you just sat in the front row and got back up to do the contribution after that was reasonable. So that's another option. There's nothing saying you got to sit up on the front pew. Right. It's just that number two is the one in charge. That's the important thing. I'm kidding. So anyhow, if we want to have a further discussion about baskets, lockboxes, bags on sticks, whatever in the world we want to do, then I think that's fine for later. But for now, if we're sticking with the baskets, my opinion would be three.
Dennis, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking, in order to give Rick's suggestion due consideration, and that is also considering Stan's personal conviction. Maybe it would be good to table it for another month and have an email study or something where we can, just discuss.
Do you think that's
16?
Do you think that's necessary, Dennis? Like, whether we had baskets or a lockbox, we could still get option three.
I can reflect on 1 Corinthians 8 and just not push my idea if I know it's going to offend somebody. That's fine too, and I'm perfectly happy with doing that. So, I will say that I'm not the only one that feels that option, my option, is what they would like to do. Ian wants to do it as well. They think
that like
expedient. Ian was also on board with it, but like I said, it's a group decision, not my decision, and I know that.
Basically, we got five options.
We got at least 30.
I qualified it with the reason that we suggested the change in the beginning, which was because we were worried about children not differentiating. And Stan brought up basically my point of why I asked that is because I think we're all, for the most part, responsible adults. I don't include myself in that sometimes, but, I've got kids. I successfully somehow got Thackeray to realize that they're separated. And, I asked him this morning, like, how long did it take you to figure that out? He's like, I had to tell you a couple times. And I figured it out. I'm like, okay, so how much of an issue is it? Like, I don't understand. I mean, I don't have a problem moving it wherever we want, as far as within the bookends of the opening and closing prayer. Like, I agree with Stan that it is a part of worship. I'm going to get into why, but...
Yeah, and again, though, last time we decided we were going to.
Decided we were going to talk about it.
We made the decision that we were going to switch it up to accommodate.
I don't think we all agreed that we would change it. I think we would discuss
options. That was
my opinion is leave it the same or option three.
I think that everybody was kind of like,
for lack of clarity, I thought that's how I left it.
I think everybody was kind of like, well, we don't have a problem. If one person you know, has a problem, we're all like, okay, we can change it to a different part of the service if that's going to, you know, I think we're being agreeable, you know, and like, because it doesn't really matter where it's at. But if it's not a real problem, I don't see any reason to change it. But if it is a real problem, somebody, then
it's up to the parents to teach the kids anyway.
That's what I'm saying. That's a conversation that if your kid's 19 and doesn't know, then
My record is at 14 years old is the highest kid I've taught that was confused about it. And not super confused. Like, as soon as somebody said it, they went, oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. But when they go, well, the acts of worship, you know, that's prayer. they go prayer, singing, scripture, and Lord's Supper contribution. It's like, oh, you know, but whatever. It's just a human thing to do when things are close together and associated. I don't think we made the decision we were going to change it last time. I don't think we got that far. I think we said we were going to look at options and make the decision. I did want to clarify something. I forget who, but somebody said a second ago about come together in 1 Corinthians 16 being the same as come together in 1 Corinthians 11, but it doesn't say come together in 1 Corinthians 16. So I wanted to make sure that was brought out just so people didn't get confused.
I'm going to have to affirm what he said. I looked. It's not in there. That said, I'm with the other Josh on this one. I was raised in a Christian household, and I never had an issue separating it out. The only reason I was for switching it up is just like he said, somebody came with a concern. We're not glued to anything here, so let's examine it. But I, too, do not see the problem. I don't see the problem, but willing to address it because somebody has brought it up. And that's where I'm at on that.
And to that point, real quick, just to caveat, I firmly, and I think everybody in this room agrees with Rick, when he says that we shouldn't do something just because of tradition, I think we all know that. And like, I definitely agree. If we do decide to keep the way or move it, I don't think we're doing it. You know,
I don't have a. I apologize for saying it was going to come together because you're right.
Anyway, that was all.
Can I just suggest that we look at the two, three, and four. The option of possibly keeping it as it is and just see what's the most popular and everyone else agree to exceed the one that's the most. I mean, I don't think anybody's got a problem with any of them.
Or option one, it's no love. No, I think we're ready.
But yeah, just say which one you prefer and the one biggest hands, everybody agrees that if that's the one that they more prefer.
So why don't we run through it then? Well, vote to keep it all the same, not make any changes?
Keep it the same as it is.
Now you're supposed to ask for the other ones.
Option.
The other thing is it allows, we keep the same for now, rather than saying, oh, we're going to table this. If somebody wants to bring it up again, you know, in a social meeting down the road and have, you know, a scriptural study about it, we can do that. You know, it gives us time to do that.
Well, Dennis, I'll defer to you because you're the one that brought it up. Initially.
What ages were the kids?
The kids we were talking about was primary one.
She brought it up in Don's class.
Yeah, we were talking about primary one, and then the thing I was talking about was the junior high class 1.5 years ago.
What age is primary one?
I mean, y'all.
It's kindergarten and first grade.
Okay.
We should keep teaching on it, but I don't think it's... I hate to say it, I almost said it, don't think it's worth all this. I only halfway mean that. I, if it was older kids, I would have a much bigger deal than I do. And it's a very easy, teachable moment when those things come up. I don't think we should continue to thrash on this.
There's other considerations, but that's what I was getting at a while ago. We don't necessarily have to hash it all out today. I would enjoy a study about 1 Corinthians 16 and what it means. But as far as the way we're doing it, it's perfectly scriptural. And I don't have a problem with that, but there's some practical considerations. Between the two, we have to make an announcement to the congregation, separate and apart from the Lord's Supper. I never have liked that. That's just like we're apologizing or something for doing it all together. Or having to explain it or clarify it. Every single Lord's Day, we're having to clarify it. If we separate it, that problem is solved. The other thing is, and I've heard this argument too, we really don't need to teach our children when they're young to put a coin in the basket, because it takes being baptized to know what to do. As soon as you're baptized, you know. If you understand anything, that now I need to contribute to the work of the church as I prosper. Our children don't take the Lord's Supper. They don't need to contribute to the basket.
They don't prosper.
My kids do. Technically.
What?
My kids do.
I live in your house. No, I see what you're saying.
There are definitely
it's not wrong for them to put it in the basket, but let's don't use our letting them do that as that we're teaching them they need to.
Well,
they can
learn
it just
no,
as quick as a 19
right.
year old can.
Yeah, it's just a stage.
It's one of the first acts a child can be a part of.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's a teachable moment that all parents go through when teaching their children about the work of the church. David did a hot chocolate stand yesterday morning because he wanted to have money to give this today. I mean, it's a principle that they can understand. It's up to the parents to teach. If we start making concessions in our order of worship because parents aren't doing their job, what other concessions do we have to start doing?
Well, so I agree. It would be good to study. It's always good to study. Rock on. Let's study some more. I mean, we haven't even covered whether it makes sense for non-Christians to give. There's all sorts of things to talk about.
I'm not going
to
throw their money back at me.
Well, I've told visitors that they don't have to give when they come. I was saying, like, I've invited, like, neighbors that are not part of the church and stuff, and when they come, they're thinking the way the denominational world thinks. It's, oh, it's all about the money, and so they're all about,
right.
I got to give. And I've told them, no, that's...
Right, exactly.
That's not why you're here.
My point is that we're not doing the study
that's
right
not
now.
The biggest problem you have with denominations.
Well, I agree.
My point is we're not doing the study right now. But it would be good to do it later. And so I think that we can just go ahead and finish. It turns out you're not supposed to debate in the middle of a vote. we can go ahead and just finish, and then we'll be done. This was a much less big deal than the exact same conversation I had about 27 years ago. And the concern there was they thought we were sullying the Lord's Supper by having it so closely tied to money, and they wanted it separated in the worship because they didn't want any misunderstandings from anyone, from visitors or whatever in the world. But if you just ask for the hands on 2, 3, and 4, we can be done.
Well, we've already voted, and votes carried, so we're done.
We're done. Nobody voted for 2, 3, and 4.
Everybody voted for leaving it the same. That was the vast majority.
Yeah, vast majority.
So we just don't
it really doesn't matter
other people
what
vote.
The rest right. of the vote is. Right.
All right. And I'm next on the agenda.
Let's just run through it real quick so everybody's satisfied. Option number one. Who votes for option number one, doing the contribution in the 9 o'clock hour and leaving the Lord's Supper for the 11 o'clock hour?
You can't vote again, Zachary.
Dennis in the back. For those that
you
can't
voted for one.
Yeah, or five, which is Joshua. I would go for one or five.
Who's for, do we vote for two?
No, not yet.
Who's for two? Okay. Who's for three? Who's for four?
No. We're asking where you take it.
Option three. Who wants option three?
All right.
Okay. Who wants option four?
All right. Good. So, I'm next on the agenda, right?
The pairing is deleted the same. Yes, Justin, you are next.
Okay, so somebody reminded me that we're late. we said that after we changed the way we did the Lord's Supper, and probably the whole pandemic and everything made it all weird, and we forgot about the timing, we said, hey, once we've done it that other way for a while, we're going to go back and see if we still like it. So, not suggesting we do that now, suggesting that be something we talk about at the next meeting, but basically, we changed it to where it's only in the 11 o'clock hour. We do it once on Sunday, not twice. Now we've done it for a while. What do we think? Think it's good? Think we stick with it? Think we want to go another way? The person that reminded me we were supposed to redo that evaluation said the only concern they saw was that there are occasionally times that we have members that have to leave early to go to work, and there are visitors that have come at the 9 o'clock hour, left at 10 o'clock, and they were not given a chance to take the Lord's Supper. And they figured that probably if they were just rolling through town or whatever, that that was one of the big reasons they attended, was to take the Lord's Supper, and they didn't get that opportunity. Again, not looking to discuss it now, just promised I would bring it up, and we can discuss it next time.
Okay. I'll put that on the agenda. The two other things that I have. First, just to clarify, which apparently we need to do since I was on my whole thing already from last meeting. So when we talked about it, there were two questions asked about the kids running the building and that discussion we had. So first of all, did we decide that the children should not run in the building at any time, or only certain when certain ones are present, for example, the elderly? I was under the impression that we decided there should not be running in the building from children. Am I incorrect in that, or is that what we decided?
I believe that is correct.
I was under the impression it was because of the danger it provided.
Right, yeah. So,
not necessarily at all times, period. It's a sin if you run in the building.
Well,
you're
here on a Thursday cleaning
under,
the
under general safety rules.
that's my understanding. Is for general safety, they need to be careful where their activities are taken. Whether it's even walking can be dangerous.
If you're being yes.
Be aware.
Right. I posted video evidence.
And then the second question to go along with that. So we decided they should be
careful.
Oh, yes, Dick.
You're going to make an announcement of that no running, or what?
I believe the parents have all.
Yeah, all the parents know about it. They're all in
here.
Well, the parents have been here for years. I mean, well,
the kids aren't going to listen to the announcement. That's what's going
on. I know, the parents
are aware of what I'm saying. The parents know. There's no need for an announcement.
Right. We
can. The second question going
on that
along
note,
with
the kids
that,
know.
All runners will
they just
be
don't remember.
It's a work in progress.
They know what they're supposed to do. They just don't do it all the time.
The second question that goes along with that was, you know, the scriptural authority to expect or require all to submit to that decision, which, again, I don't know exactly where they were coming from in this. And that's perhaps a discussion to be had about the scriptural authority, where I view that, you know, this is not a spiritual issue, and so therefore we don't, again, when you're talking about the authority to expect this, it's, yeah, I think it all comes down to love for your brethren and looking out for the best interest of others, and so you know, to define require, that's, I don't think it's unscriptural to ask that and make that request. As far as to, you know, hire security guards to change. Again, you know, when you're talking about requiring that submission, nobody to my knowledge has objected to following that request to not run in the building. It's simply a process of implementing it and getting the kids, and they have done better. I mean, there's still some to do it, but they have done better. I've stopped a couple. I noticed some parents stopped mine a couple of times, and I think they're going to get it, you know, here before too long. As far as, you know, that's an expectation, and that's something that they're not going to be allowed to do. But as far as the scriptural authority to expect or require all to submit to this. You know, that's a.
In other words,
I think
a
it, you know, it comes,
So
that wasn't even what we were doing.
Yeah, yeah. So people are not very precise normally. And so can we just say it's a request and not a requirement and be done with it?
Yes.
Yep. Perfect.
That's all we're doing.
It's highly requested. But it's not a sin if you don't.
It's easy.
And then the only other thing, your wife mentioned a robotic vacuum.
Yes. It seems to be a common theme that the bane of cleaning is the auditorium and vacuuming it. And the suggestion that my wife thought of was taking advantage of some modern technology and getting one of the little robots to just zing around in the off days, thrilling around the pews, and take care of
might
some
need a couple of
that,
them to cover
that stuff.
I'm sorry. I was just gonna say I talked about it with his wife the other day at lunch, and my thing about this, and we probably should go and get some prices, and I'm willing to look into it to see, but if we buy one, we need to spend and buy the best one that they have on the market, because one, we're asking it to clean the auditorium. Two, we want it to make sure that it has assignable zones, so it stays in its zones, because my caveat before was that we have motion alarms in hallways, so we can't have it like toggling off down the hall, because then it's going to set the alarms off. But we don't have motion in the auditorium, so we have fans running all the time, so should be okay to have a vacuum in there, but we need to spend them like $500-$600 on it.
No, the best ones are $1,000.
Yeah, or
is there one even that could even handle that big of an area?
That's the thing.
I don't know.
I looked at it a little bit last night, and from what I've heard, they're just not worth it.
So
because of the size, because they break down. Yeah.
I was just willing to look into it.
I don't think
it's a clever idea, but
yes,
I don't think
it's
the actual vacuuming of the
due to the size.
So in Ohio, before my parents moved, that's what they did, and it took a little bit of working. And the auditorium was a little bit smaller than this one, but not by a lot. It worked awesome.
Did it?
But it required. It required, because it's way too big of a place to do all at once, so you have to get one that's smart enough to resume after it recharges itself and resume where it left off. The starting price for those is about $500, and it would it's great. It does a better job under the pews than you can do manually with a vacuum, but it is also a hassle, right? Someone's got to go clean up everything. Like, the person who closes up the building is going to have to make sure that every little thing is up off the floor, or else it's going to get stuck and ruined.
Yeah, that was my question.
Maintenance is not actually a huge deal. We do have one at the house, because it was the only part of the Jetsons I could buy. So I did. and it does so much better with a cat here than I can handle. Anyway, so it is a good idea, but getting these wings and the foyer and the walkways, sorry, I didn't mean to hit you, Paul. that is a difficulty. So I would not write this idea off, but it's still a lot of work, but it's less backbreaking work.
We also, as a congregation, have to get in the habit of not leaving things on the floor. Which,
right.
And I'm just talking about kids' stuff. And,
yeah.
And there's so many other ladies that have stools.
That became a thing where they would make an announcement right before the close of the service, whenever they were going to have the cleaning, like, hey, a couple of the kids, would you come pick up all the stuff? And they would put everything up in the pews, kind of like we always used to have to put our desks on our chairs, our chairs on our desks. Sorry, the other way. At the end of school, it was like that. So it's not a horrible idea, but it's not a slam dunk either.
Maybe somebody willing to research it, do some research on it.
The best one that I was talking about has not only those capabilities that you mentioned, but it also dumps.
Yeah, they can empty themselves too.
I just went to the top level, $1,000.
Yeah, but then the big problem is hair. You've got to de-hair the thing every time it runs. Anyway, that's all.
Run it from your phone.
And I can, if anyone wants to see what just happened to mine,
it's all a trade off. There's always a trade off. You can trade off one thing for something else, but there's always something to trade off.
Exactly.
So personally, I don't want to mess with it. Is there?
Somebody else says
you should hire like somebody.
For now, I
second. Somebody doesn't object to messing with it, or does object to not messing with it.
What if we just hire somebody to vacuum?
You know.
I like the idea, but just I don't. We need to do more research on it. So,
those that are interested can do more research and let me know when you want to bring it up.
I heard Tommy really likes the vacuum this weekend.
I think we need a drone in the building and follow it around.
And I do have one very, very quick thing. I would like to suggest that we purchase a, what do you call it, a dynamic mic for the
1-7?
One with phantom power, because the pickup is not good on the
It's not that it's an old mic, it just doesn't pick up well for
our it's a good mic.
It's
one that you
have to swallow it.
But they, you know, if you've got the ones that have the phantom power, like the one at the pulpit, then it has much more range. Right. And I think when you get something like that, from something.
Does anybody object to that?
Not good.
I've already got it. I never sent it back to Amazon. So the one I bought for the pulpit, I was like trying to send it back. It was a hassle. So I'm like, I'm just going to keep it for when we need another mic. So I've still got a $100 mic
done.
That has a phantom power. It'll just take some doing to get it to work because it's a real long, like skinny mic. But I'll figure something out.
I'm scheduled to preach, or not preach, teach starting in December on Wednesdays. Does anyone mind if I do two quarters instead of one? And is everyone cool with Hebrews?
I have no problem with that. I do have a question on that, because somebody has told me that they are under the impression that we frown upon or we discourage teachers taking the same class again and again.
No.
Is that right?
Wait.
Like, teaching multiple quarters in a row.
No,
years in a row.
You want to
the reason, so... The same people taught all the time under the different children of Elisha. And when we made these changes, we wanted to give more opportunities to teach that way. And one of the good things about having, in other words, someone teach the Wednesday night class besides Dad was you had men that had, and you do get a different flavor. Everybody's got different styles, but there was never a hard, you can't teach two in a row. And, you know, it was just, we don't want the same person. In other words, all they do every Sunday and Wednesday for indefinitely is they teach the 5-year-olds, you know, and that's what we have.
And I completely understand there are some people that hey, this is my class, I'm just going to teach this class, I'm good at whatever. I get that. But I do know of one person that is under the impression that they were not allowed to teach.
Nope.
And so that's why they switch back and forth between different classes, because they want to teach every quarter, but they... switch class grades.
Incidentally,
it's recommended for other people to teach as well, but not that it's not allowed. That's what he just said.
Incidentally, Rick, I actually have a bigger problem with the second thing, where somebody wants to teach every single quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that doesn't allow them the opportunity for the growth they need.
I agree with that as well.
I agree.
And some of that stuff, I don't even realize. Like, when somebody said Debbie had been teaching the same class for 12 months,
and that
I was like, oh,
know,
my goodness, no, we got to fix this right now.
Right, and COVID threw all that out of the way, just so, you know, I think we kind of pushed that
won.
Year and
she
a half.
Won. She teaching it.
Does anybody have anything else to add before we dismiss?
Did we settle Aaron's question?
I took the silence as consent.
Yes, silence
as
consent.
I'm sorry. Hebrews with Aaron teaching two quarters in a row. Does anybody object to that?
No.
No.
Good.
So I've been teaching the preschool. How far along through the parable book did we get?
There are three lessons left in 1 week, and he's just going to pick which one he wants. So.
Okay. Cool.
Cool.
Thank you, gentlemen.
More lessons.
Appreciate it.